Good evening. Tonight, I'd like to ask a question. That question is, what's your Isaac? Abraham's example of sacrifice is a powerful one. And it's an example for us to sacrifice what God asks us to. God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Matthew 22:37 says this, the first great commandment. Isaac could have just as easily been a source of disobedience for Abraham if he was unwilling to go through that sacrifice. Jesus says in Matthew 10:37 that if you love mother and father more than me, then you are not worthy of me. Abraham obviously proved his worthiness through the willingness to sacrifice his son. In my opinion, there are three areas today that we can focus on that we need to be rid of, that we need to sacrifice. They're broad areas. It's not everything or the totality. But the three areas I want to focus on tonight are addiction, ambition, and pride. These three areas, these three things, are tearing families apart today. They are turning people away from God. So, what will you sacrifice for God? In Genesis 22, verse 2, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son. Now, God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our children. God only asks us to sacrifice the sin that's in our lives. And I realize that the comparison is not exact. Isaac is someone precious, while sin is something that we should want to get rid of. But if we're not willing to give up sin, then how can we love God in the first place? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And Psalm 51:17, God explains the sacrifice that He wants. A broken and contrite heart. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. In Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 5, it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. The old man of sin has been crucified. Following the example of Abraham, what is it that God asks us to sacrifice in our own lives? Addiction. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography. When we are entangled up in them, we become their slaves. Addiction is enslavement. Whenever we hear someone talk about it, they talk about how they can't help themselves. They talk about how they have no choice. Scroll down to Romans chapter 6, scroll down, or turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to scroll down. You can flip. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, for holiness. For when you are slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ask yourself the question, who am I a slave to? I think this is one application that can be made when Jesus talks about the seed that fell among the thorns in Mark 4, chapter 7. I think it's Mark. It's either Mark chapter 4, verse 7 or Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, where it says that the thorns grew up and choked it, the seed, and it yielded no crop. If we're going to yield fruit for God, then we must be free from the choking influence of addiction. Are we willing to sacrifice addictions to sin to be free and follow God? Ambition. Satan used ambition to tempt Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, when he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said that he would give all of them if Jesus would fall down and worship Satan. And I would say that this temptation that Satan brought works as if Jesus had the ambition to rule a physical world. But he did not. The devil isn't going to offer us the entire world. And he doesn't have to. He can offer us two or three people. And that's what Paul warned about to the Ephesian elders. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Acts 20:28, Paul says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul warns of two sources of division, two sources of danger. One was one was savage wolves from the outside, but the other was men who would rise up from among them. And what drives that desire for men to rise up among the Ephesian elders, among the Christians who they're shepherds of, or who they're overseers of. I would argue that that's ambition. Ambition to have followers. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing but be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Rejecting ambition means thinking of others before we think of ourselves. Thinking of the health of the whole before thinking about yourself. The third is pride. The Jews were prideful. They used their place as children of Abraham to say that they were okay. They were fine and dandy. Turn with me to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 31, John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Jesus was trying to explain to them why he was on earth, that he was there to free men from sin. But the Jews wouldn't listen, or they were hard of hearing, because they thought they were fine, because they were Abraham's descendants. They were God's chosen people. Do we listen to others when they come to us with something that isn't right in our life? When others come to teach or explain something so that we understand it correctly? And instead of listening to them, do we just think about reasons why we're right? When we do that, we fall into the same trap that the Jews did. Jesus taught a parable about pride in Luke chapter 18, if you'll turn with me there. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9. We read in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." If we think that we're great and that we have no room for improvement, then we should consider this parable. We should consider another example that Jesus brings up in Luke chapter 17. If you'll turn back to Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 10, 5 through 10. Luke 17, 5 through 10. It says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, "Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and sit down to eat"? But will he not rather say to him, "Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things, all those things which are commanded, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." The apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith, and Jesus told them this. He told them that even when we think we've done everything that we possibly can, or when we think that we are secure in what we've done, we need to continue to grow, continue to look for areas in which we can contribute. Pride says, "Yep, I got to church 3 times this week and took the kids." Let's always remember that there's more to do. Are we willing to sacrifice the sin in our life, whether it's addiction, ambition, or pride? Only we can recognize it and do something about it. Do we trust that God will take care of us and give us what we need? The sacrifice of Isaac is an example of the faith that Abraham showed, but it's also an example of the faith that Abraham had in God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Abraham not only is an example of obedience, but he is an example of the faithfulness that we should have in God. He concluded that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. Do we have that kind of trust in God? Are we willing to sacrifice what we think is most precious in our lives? Do we have the faith in God that He will give us what we need in this life? Do we trust God enough to obey His Word? When we think of what we need to obey His Word, we can look to Romans chapter 10:17 and understand that we need to hear the Word in order to believe it. Romans 10, chapter 10, says that, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We need to hear, we need to believe, we need to confess. We need to repent. Acts 2:38 says that Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We need to repent and we need to be baptized. After we do those things, we have to be faithful throughout our lives. In Revelation 2:10, it says, "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." If we find that we have fallen back into our old ways, that we have sinned, then we can look to 1 John 1:9, where it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there are any here tonight who need to obey the Word for the first time or again, let them come forward as we stand and sing.